For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. A parable in the Bible is often defined as an earthly story which has a heavenly meaning. Jesus frequently taught in parables to illustrate a spiritual truth. Today you'll hear from Pastor Holland as we listen to part one of a message brought from Matthew chapter 22. In this message we find the parable of the wedding feast.
And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. So in other words, he was making a feast for his son. It closes out, the parable closes with in verse 13, Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many of you may have heard of the Canterbury Tales by Geoffrey Chaucer, and one was called A Pardoner's Tale. His story concerns three ungodly young men who decided that they would search for death. They would search for death, and they would find death, and they would kill it. And so as they set out upon their journey to find death, they came to an old man. Along the way, they described to him what they intended to do. They said, We're looking for death. He said, I can tell you exactly where it is. He said, if you'll go this way, and he gave them the directions to go, and you come to a big oak tree, he said, there ye will find death. They did what the old man said. They came to the big oak tree that he had described to them, and it was there, but death was nowhere to be found. But there they found a pot of gold. And so they all began to talk amongst themselves and said, you know, what we need to do is we need to remain here. First of all, we need to guard the goal. And second of all, we need to wait till death comes so that we can kill death. Well, they decided that it got a little while. They'd been there, and they decided somebody needed to go get something to eat. So being the gamblers they were, these were rough men, being the gamblers they were, they drew straws as to who would go to town to get the food. The youngest man of the bunch, of course, drew the lot, and he was chosen. We're staying here with the gold. You go to town and get us some food. The young man went to town, but on his way to town, he began to think in his mind how good it would be if he could get the gold all to himself and leave them out. And so while he was in town, he bought some bread, he brought some wine, and he brought some rat poison. And on the way back, he put the rat poison in the wine, and he had intentions of giving it to them and feeding them, him not drinking any, of course, and them dying, and all the gold would be his. However, on the other hand, the other two that was left guarding the gold, they too had come up with a plot. They thought that it would be better to split the gold two ways rather than one way. And so they said, when he comes back, we're going to kill him. And so before the man had time to even give them the drinks, as soon as he got there, they killed him and they destroyed his life. After that, they took the wine and the bread and began to celebrate. And you know the rest of the story. They all found death. What began as seemed to be a good thing and something that they had obtained, yet turned out to be a bad thing. And that's exactly what we find in the parable today. What started out as a marriage feast, and by the way, typically a marriage feast is a joyful thing. People come together, they have a joyful time. Many times the things that they do, it's a great feast, and many people come, and it's a joyful time. But this feast now ends up in this parable where the Bible says that many were bound and they were cast into outer darkness where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the first thing I want to do today is to describe to you the characters in this parable. In verse number 2, we find the king. The king represents God the Father. The second thing we notice in verse 2 is the marriage. And I believe this is representative of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's identified as the kingdom of heaven in verse number 2. In fact, he talks about that. He talks about the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. The son in verse 2, I believe, is the Lord Jesus Christ. While God is the central figure in this parable, this whole parable revolves around the celebration organized to celebrate the son. So it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. The King is God the Father. The Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice there were guests who came. There was many that were bidden in verse 3 and in verse number 4 and in verse number 8. And these were the people of Israel who had consistently rejected God's call to come into His kingdom and put their faith and trust in the Son of God. They were invited, but they continually rejected. Then we find, after they rejected, there was another invitation that was given for them to go out and to invite others to come. And the Bible says in verses 9 and 10, He talks about as many as ye shall find. Now the many that ye shall find refers to all the Jews and the Gentiles who would believe the gospel and be saved by the grace of God. They were people who would accept God's invitation to come to Him through His Son. We find the man in the parable without the wedding garment in the latter part of the chapter represents a lost person who tries to enter the kingdom of God by any other means except the way which God desires for him to come. And so this morning, notice the lessons that we can learn from this parable. First of all, I believe the parable is here to warn the lost. I believe, second of all, it's here to encourage those who are saved. And so now we begin looking at the parable of the wedding feast. In verses 1 through 7, we see a summons rejected. The Bible said in Jesus, verse 1, answered and spake unto them again by parable, and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth the servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them what you're bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Now what we find in the beginning of the parable, the king, being God, is now making ready for a great feast, for the marriage supper of the Lamb as we know it, but here a parable of a man that's a king providing for his son. A great feast had been planned. Back in those days, a wedding did not last one day. A wedding would last 7 days. There would be 7 days of celebration. There would be time of rejoicing. Now when a common man, he had a wedding feast, it would have been a joyous time of celebration, and it would have been attended by all those in the community. In fact, everyone that knew them would come. But when a king hosted a wedding feast, it would have been a joyous time of celebration, but it would have also been only those who were invited to the feast. Now, not everyone was invited to come, but there were some fortunate individuals who were. When the time of the wedding feast arrived, the Bible says the king, he sent forth his servants to bid them to come to this celebration. Now, understand, this celebration was not a last-minute invitation. It was not something that he thought of at the last minute. It's something that he had planned for a long time. In fact, I believe the invitation to this event had probably been sent out months in advance. Those who had got the invitations had plenty of time to prepare, had plenty of time to come, but the sad news is when they were invited, the Bible said they would not come. We find, so the king sent forth again. He told him, said, I want you to go back. He said, I want you to tell them this. I want you to tell them now that we prepared the feast. I've killed the calf. I've got everything. We've spent all the money. We've got all the food. We've got everything ready. And I tell you, it's important that you come. But not only would they not come, but the Bible said in verse number 5, and they made light of it. In other words, they laughed and they joked about it. Other invitees were a step further and treated the servants spitefully. Look at verse 6. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. So not only did some not come, and not only did some make fun and make light of it, but literally they became angry toward the servants that came, and the Bible said they slew them. Now, when the word of the violence came back to the king, and when he found out about it, he sent his armies to kill the murderers and to burn down their city. And that's what happens in verse number 7. So we see, first of all, they could not conceive of anyone rejecting the invitation from the king. In fact, if the king was to have a celebration, I'm sure everybody normally would have gone, right? But there was a certain Greek that would not come and refused to go. What the original hearers, the Pharisees, might not have understood is the story of the nation of Israel and how they had treated God and His servants. We understand what Jesus said because we have the Bible and we have 2,000 years of history that we can go back and understand probably a little better than they did. But here they were going about their business. Here's a feast put on by the king. These representative of the kingdom of God, by the way. But yet he tells the parable of how when they heard, they would not come. You know, today there's still people in this world that will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The invitation's been given. And by the way, isn't it wonderful today that Jesus said, "Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Come unto me." He said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's not a matter of just you and me, but it's a matter of whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely, where he'll never thirst again. They chose their lifestyle and their possessions over God. You know, we live in a society today where the world is choosing their lifestyle and their possessions over God. There's no thought of God. There's no time for God. We don't have time to go to the house of God. We don't have time to read the Bible. We don't have time to pray. And literally, they're doing exactly what these people did by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But they went a step further. Not only did they reject it, and not only did they make light of it, but they killed the servants to whom was bringing the message. And yet today, I'll not go into great detail, but I'm telling you today, there's people that are suffering. There's people that are suffering today, and they're suffering at the hands of people that do not believe in God, and they're persecuting them any way they can. The Bible said in verse number 7, He sent forth His armies, and He destroyed those murderers, and He burned up their city. The rejection of Israel was their rejection of the Word of God. That's what He's talking about here. The Bible said He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, that's the way we're going to get to in a minute, as the Jews and the Gentiles. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. As He did, God is calling people to come to Him. He reaches out to those who are lost in sin. God does this through preaching. God does this through the testimonies of His servants and through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. God calls today for the lost, and that's what He was doing. He was calling for the lost to come. We find that some do, and some will. Some will enter into the kingdom of God because they'll make ready for the marriage supper. But I want you to know today, God stands ready to receive all those who will come to Him by faith. He will judge those who refuse Him. If we reject His call, there's nothing ahead for you except a place called hell. But if you accept the invitation and come, there's eternal life that will be given to you. I'm telling you today, don't let that be your fate. Here's the king. He prepared the feast. He sent out His servants. He bid people to come. He invited them to come. He told them to come. They had the opportunity to come, but the Bible said they would not come.
You've been listening to part one of the parable of the wedding feast. We can be grateful today that we are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Have you accepted the invitation offered to you? Please call or write to us if we can help you accept God's gift of salvation. Join us again next week as we conclude this message, the parable of the wedding feast. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.